Okay. Good morning, Council. This is mock Council Group number 5. And you will be hearing a presentation from Robert Stewart, who is the director of the EMS Department, Emergency Medical Services, the paramedic service. And this will be on a driver safety program. Before we get started, each of you will introduce yourselves, the school you represent, and the position you're playing starting here.
Hello, I am Nick Gowden. I represent Sussex Technical High School, and I am the acting council attorney.
Hi, my name is Brian Bowles. I go to Sussex Central High School, and I am representing District 3.
I'm Katie Saxon. I'm representing Sussex Technical High School, and I'm also representing District number 2.
I'm Alex Angel of Sussex Technical High School, and I'm representing the council president.
I'm Vasmi Patel. I'm from Delmar High School, and I'm representing District 4.
Antonia Pantry from Cape and Lopin High School, and I'm representing District 5.
Okay, come up to your mic a little bit. That's
okay. Fine. I'm Hannah Henderson. I'm from Seaford High School, and I'm representing the financial director.
I'm Nate McCabe. I'm from Indian River High School, and I am the clerk of the council.
Okay, great. All right, Mr. Stewart, if you're ready.
Morning. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
My name is Robert Stewart. I'm the director of Sussex County EMS. I've been the director now starting my 8th year. I've been with the department for 26 years. I'm also a paramedic. Before that, I was involved in ambulance service for 5 years, so I've been 31 years in EMS. I think you'll find this interesting, informative, probably a little bit entertaining, and I am hopefully we can inform you and get your support for this program. I'm here today to talk to you about our driving initiative, and this is a driving initiative that this presentation is coming from our safety committee. We've been pursuing this program for several years, and we actually have a field paramedic-led committee that has come up with this presentation. Our response vehicles, if you see in the background, you'll see that Suburban. Our first-line response vehicles are all, right now, pretty much Chevy Suburbans, 2014 or newer. We have a dual fleet, and what that means is every single paramedic station has two paramedics, and we have two vehicles. One's a Suburban, and one's a squad body truck. If you've seen a little white and blue paramedic trucks that look like an ice cream truck or an assault-off ambulance, that's our backup vehicle. It's our secondary vehicle. We have three supervisor vehicles. They are also Chevy Suburbans, six administrative vehicles that are SUVs. And the cost of a new vehicle to put on the street, that Suburban equipped with everything except the gear on it. The gear on it is about $100,000 worth of gear. It's $65,000. We drove a total of 474,670 miles last year. So we drive almost 500,000 miles a year. Puts us on the street quite a bit. Our safety committee is committed to advocating for the safest practices and regulations that protect and promote the health of our providers and patients. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, we want our paramedics to be safe while they do their work during the day. We also want them to go home at night or in the morning to their families. So safety is paramount to our department. Our safe driving initiative, we want to continue to provide that safe working environment for our employees, but we want to provide a safe environment not only when they're responding to emergencies, but also when they're driving, as we call it, normally, between calls, and that happens a lot. 70% actually of the driving that the paramedics do every day is under non-emergency conditions. However, the danger is a lot of times is when they're responding. 60% of all EMS accidents occur when the vehicle is being used for emergency response. Pushing education and awareness of individual and department driving habits will hopefully lower the risk for an accident. That is the single biggest thing that we're trying to achieve, and that is to educate our people and make them aware of what's going on while they're driving. One of the things that happens, and I think this happens almost with every single person who drives a vehicle for any amount of time, is you have what they call a normalization of deviance. Sounds like something complicated, but it's actually pretty simple. Normalization of deviance means you understand the rules, but you choose to ignore the standard operating procedure, and whether you do it unintentionally or unintentionally, it doesn't matter. It's like driving by habit. Factors that help or factors that lead to a normalization of deviance is that sometimes responders will speed to a location whether they're in emergency mode or not. Sometimes they'll even speed when they're going in emergency faster than what they realize. They don't utilize a backer when they're backing up when they should. They're not wearing seatbelts when they should, and sometimes they're on the phones texting or talking when they shouldn't be. And we have rules for this, but what happens is unless somebody is watching them, it becomes kind of the culture is that, well, nobody's watching, so I can text or take this call real quick. We want to try to do that. Our new Suburbans kind of contribute to that complacency and that normalization of deviance because they're a much faster, smoother vehicle. You can literally drive 80 miles an hour in one of those Suburbans and it feels like you're riding 50 for you younger folks. For me, if 80, it scares me because I'm older. But I've been told by every medic that they drive at 80, it's smooth as silk. So we have to be careful that we allow that and then we monitor our speeds. The crews are familiar with driving the Suburban because it does drive so well, but they also get tunnel vision. And one of the things that contributes to the tunnel vision is sometimes it's the nature of the call, particularly with pediatric calls. I can tell you that when a pediatric call goes off, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, you get a little bit of extra added excitement because it involves a kid. And kid calls are some of the toughest calls. The paramedics are also busy in the front cab of a response vehicle. They have a radio, they have a CAD, computer-aided dispatch terminal that they use to see where the call is. It maps them to the call, it talks to them. Sometimes if they have a partner talking to them, that can be a distraction. But they have a lot going on, and we call that it's a precondition for an unsafe act. So we want to try to make sure that we're aware of that and that we help contribute to training that can make that a little less unmanageable. Here's some statistics to hopefully maybe bring this into perspective. The national average is 2 transportation-related fatalities for every 100,000. And for EMS, it's higher. As you can see, it's 9.6 for every 100,000 transportation-related accidents. We have 4,500 collisions a year involving ambulances. Over a third of those result in a fatality injury or a fatality to at least one occupant of the vehicle. And it says an average of 29 fatal EMS vehicle crashes produce 33 fatalities per year. 60%, as I said earlier, of all accidents occur while the vehicle is responding under emergency conditions. And one of the things that we are really want to focus on is 43% of our crashes occur where two roads intersect. And here is some Sussex County EMS specific data. Since 2013, we've had 15 reportable accidents. Those collisions have cost the department $20,000 in just damages alone. And that does not include health care costs, time loss, or time paid out to those that we may have injured or done damage to their vehicles. We have a thing called a near-miss program, and last year we recorded 6 different near-miss incidents, probably very much underreported. And as you can see, some of those include, incidents where we had driving under normal conditions. And those are all self-reported. We don't monitor that. Our safety committee monitors it. It's all anonymous. And we try to encourage the use of it so that we can identify places where we can try to make improvements. Our solution, this is one solution. It's called DriveCam, and I'll explain more about that in a few minutes. It's powered by Lytx, and it's one of the solutions that we feel might help our department. It's a private company. It already has existing technology. It helps to educate the drivers. It can help exonerate a driver after a crash, and some people have said it can also blame the driver. Well, if the driver's to blame, then the driver's to blame whether you had drive cam or not. And I'll show you in a second how it can exonerate a driver. There are experts that look for triggers, and when they see these triggers, it identifies a coachable event. That information is forwarded back to a supervisor, and the supervisor can sit down with an employee and review that trigger, that incident, and try to coach them so that they don't happen again. So our goal here is feedback to our drivers through their supervisor that we call a coach. I hope this video will play. This first video that I'm going to show, it's a bus driver approaching an intersection, and his speed is about 30 miles an hour, and there's going to be a white pickup come through the intersection to the driver's right. So let's hope this plays. Driver's right. What happened there was the white pickup came through the intersection and the driver had to get hard on the brake. Hard braking is one of the triggers that we look for when we're looking for driver improvement, and we want to try to coach our drivers. And being aware of your surroundings and being able to scan ahead and look ahead is something that may help prevent an incident like this in the future. The next one, we're going to see a distracted driver have a rear-end collision. I think you'll actually hear it. Ouch. Again, a distracted driver, not paying attention to what's going on in front of him, and he rear-ends another person. The next one will be a distracted driver who's texting while driving. And this is one of the things that we see that we really need to coach about. This one you'll find interesting. Although there's no collision, there's a near collision. He was texting, had to look up at the right time, saw the vehicle coming, or saw the vehicle stopped. So, thank you. So once the camera's installed, it feeds live data to LIHTC's driving center. The triggers are based on hard braking, fast acceleration, rapid deceleration, hard turns. And these are kind of G-force related things that happen that if you put on brakes real suddenly, it triggers the device. And the device will actually record 4 seconds before the trigger and 4 seconds after the trigger. And that's all it captures. You can also have a manual trigger where somebody is driving and sees something, and if they push the button, it will do the same thing so that you can catch maybe a near miss that maybe the system didn't catch. So once the system identifies a trigger, it's evaluated by the LIHTC driving experts. If it's deemed that action could have been taken or could have been prevented, it's funneled back to the supervisor for coaching. If at the end of an accident, it notifies us within 24 hours. However, in our department, when there's an accident, we are notified immediately and we begin an investigation. We will use that data, that camera information, as part of our investigation. I will tell you there was one I didn't show you where a bus driver went through an intersection. He had a green light. He struck an SUV that pulled out of a gas station, and he thought it was his fault because he didn't remember the light being green. And everybody told him, you were wrong, the light was red. Well, when he looked at the drive cam, it showed clearly that he had the green light that the SUV pulled out in front of him. And when he hit that SUV, it rolled several times and caused quite a bit of damage and some injury to the occupants of an SUV. So it can exonerate you if you are in the right. And yes, it can blame you if you're in the wrong, but if you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong. The biggest added benefit that we see in DriveCam is we are promoting safety. Safety, safety, safety. The most important benefit of this program. Some side benefits that we think we will realize because of this, people will probably drive slower. It will save fuel. It will be easier on brakes. We'll save on wear and tear on vehicles, suspensions, all the moving parts of a vehicle, because they will hopefully will be driving more carefully and cautiously, which will equate to reduced repair costs overall. But again, it provides that educational opportunity to improve driving habits, to make people aware of their driving habits. We have been offered a 6-month free trial. This is the cost of the actual installation at the end of the trial. There's 35 cameras, would cost us almost $20,000, $19,000 and change to install. The monthly service would come at a cost of about $7,261.80 a month, for a total initial cost of $26,000. We would get the 6-month free trial. They would install them initially for free. We would be able to use them for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, we would have to pay that cost to continue with DriveCam. A 2-year look forward annual cost is about $14,000 a year for the subscription, for them to be able to monitor the cameras, provide the feedback, and us to be able to use that information to coach our drivers. It seems like a pretty inexpensive program when you think that if you have one bad accident that could have been prevented, it costs a lot more than $14,000. This is some data from MedStar. MedStar is a large ambulance company in the United States. They implemented DriveCam in 2015. And on the left-hand side is the number of collisions. On the right-hand side is the repair costs in thousands of dollars. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that 2015 and 2016 are very good after they implemented DriveCam. Before that, a lot of accidents. Here's another MedStar chart. This also correlates with that January 15 implementation. The spike that you see in the middle of the screen in April of 15 was when there were some speed limit changes within their system, and DriveCam didn't capture them initially. But if you look at the end of 14 all the way through to the the third month of March at the very right-hand side, they have consistently reduced the amount of coachable behaviors because they're driving. They were aware it was coming. They implemented it. They began to coach, and everybody took it seriously, and the coachable behaviors have been changed to the positive. So doing nothing will continue to open us up for continued increase in costs in all those areas I talked about, repair costs, vehicle repairs. In 25 years in Sussex County EMS, we have never been sued for patient care in the back of an ambulance. I can't say the same about vehicle crashes. So we do a great job of taking care of our patients. There's probably room for some improvement in our driving overall. And our motto, or I guess the thing that I'm going to make a point about is that we haven't had the big one ourselves where somebody has died in a crash. We have hurt other people on occasion. We have had a paramedic die in the back of an ambulance. We have had a paramedic critically injured in the back of an ambulance in our history. So we're very passionate about provider safety. The mission of to implement DriveCam goes right back to the value of the safety committee is to provide a health and safety, safe and healthy work environment and a work ethic for our employees. We implemented a DriveCam-like product many years ago, but over the course of the years, the vendors that we used went out of business, so we had kind of a hodgepodge of different types of cameras and devices, and we just did away with them because it was difficult to have one in one vehicle and not one in another vehicle, and there was no way to really use the information. So thank you. This gives us an opportunity to perhaps move forward with implementing or looking at a DriveCam or a DriveCam-like product. And I guess I would ask for the council's consideration today to allow us to move forward with the free trial. And during that free trial period, for us to be able to look at the information that's provided by DriveCam to see if it's something that works for our department. And during that time, through the proper procurement process within the county, the purchasing guidelines, to actually look for a product and purchase a product that is like DriveCam. During the cost of the free trial, there's absolutely no obligation to Sussex County EMS or to Sussex County Council. It is a free trial. At the end of it, if we decide not to go with DriveCam, they will literally uninstall the devices and walk away from us. No, there's no obligation whatsoever. And we have that agreement in writing. So we are just asking for the council's permission to move forward with the 6-month free trial and to consider purchasing a product like that and come back to council after 6 months with a recommendation for purchase of a particular product. Thank you.
Seems pretty easy. Any questions for Mr. Stewart?
Yes, I have a question. First off, I'd like to thank you. I know your job isn't easy, and I appreciate all that you guys do for us. My question for you right now is, you mentioned that there's 35 cameras that you guys are looking at installing. Will that equip your entire fleet, both the SUVs and the trucks, so you all have the same platform?
Yes. Wow. All vehicles in the fleet. We have 35 total vehicles, and it would be including mine.
Thank you.
They don't anticipate a lot of G-forces in my vehicle. G-force activation, but yes, it would be that. At the end of 6 months, we could look at the activity on those and decide if we want to do the entire fleet based on that cost. But the nice thing about it is the installation is a one-time fee, that $15,000. The $14,000 annual fee is ongoing, and that's the part that would be a recurring fee every year. But it seems to me to be a small price to pay to have good coaching, good information, be able to provide feedback to our drivers. I do will tell you, and this is, I think, a question that may come up, is that some people think that because there's a camera in the vehicle, that Big Brother's watching, you know, the eye in the sky, and somebody's able to, you know, Skype, or I guess hack in and Skype you and tell you, figure out what you're doing. It doesn't work like that, unless you got a really good hacker, I guess.
So the money that you're paying every month after installing it, would that cover any issues you have with the equipment while having it into your vehicles?
There's probably a warranty on the equipment, and then after that, whatever would be sort of like buying any product, it would be probably, if we entered into a maintenance agreement, perhaps we could, but no, it doesn't include maintenance. Okay. I think they gave us a one-year warranty on the equipment, the installation of the equipment.
So when you have these cameras inside your vehicles, how long will the footage be in there in the system?
That's a good question, and I don't know. I do know it's downloaded at certain times, and it's stored, but I don't know how long it's actually kept. That's a good question, but I don't know.
So,
sorry, I don't know that.
It's okay.
So the drive cam company, are they like monitoring what you're doing? Are they going to be the coaches who are like giving you the situations where there was a trigger or there was like an almost accident? Are they the ones who are giving you this feedback, or is it somebody in the company who's looking at all the video footage?
It's some, when a trigger happens, they have Litex people that are watching those for those triggers. Okay. And they will look at the trigger. If it's something that they think is a coachable trigger, they will then forward it to us, and our supervisor will then sit down the employee and say, we had this incident on this date, here's what happened, and you want to talk about it. And then we're not looking at it as a punitive tool, we're looking at it as a teachable moment to be able to educate people and say, you know, I think obviously it's going to figure out real quick that there's probably 10 people in the department out of 100 that need more coaching than others. That tends to happen in any business. And probably those people will hopefully make the market improvement quickly, while those that are already doing good work will also get a pat on the back. Because one of the things we want to say is, if you're not having any coachable moments, you're probably driving either very well or you're driving very slow. But anyway, we're hoping to use it as a, like I said, a coaching and a teaching tool, not a hammer or a club. But it will provide us with feedback that we can sit down with individual drivers.
All right. In the interest of time, we've got one more item. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're asking for their approval today to do the free trial.
Yes, and to be able to come back after the six-month trial with a more definitive recommendation based on what products are available and our purchasing guidelines.
So you can handle this a couple different ways. Maybe you'll surprise me. I would think that a free trial is a free trial. It's a pretty easy choice to make. So we could pretend that you're now faced with 6 months later. You've done the free trial, and
fast forward
6 months. We've done the free trial.
We like DriveCam.
You like DriveCam. So it's going to cost $14,000 a year plus a $15,000 one-time installation fee up front. I think that was the number you used.
Yeah, I think it was.
So let's just play with it a little bit here, and let's fast forward 6 months, and you've heard the pitch, you've asked some questions. How would council like to proceed? EMS was impressed with the software and the product, and I think this is an opportunity to really, you know, improve our fleet and our responses and our driving and our safety. So is there a motion?
Just to clarify, it's $19,000, $19,075 for a one-time installation cost.
Okay. And then the $14,000 recurring yearly.
Recurring annual fee would be $14,236 a year.
So. Is there a motion?
I motion that we implement the driving software.
Okay. And I second that.
Okay. So now you have a motion and a second. If there are no questions on the matter, then, Mr. President, you would call for the vote down the line.
All right, let's vote.
Yay.
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 Yay. Yay.
Good job. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Good luck with the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart.